Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everyone to Hidden Mysteries. This is one of your co-hosts for this evening, Mimi, and with me, as usual, is Reverend Maria DeAndrea. Hello, Maria.
Hi. We're looking forward to having a lot of fun. We usually do.
Yes. And we've got an interesting topic for this evening. And welcome, fellow explorers, because anybody who listens to a show like this is obviously a person who's into the mysteries of life and really want to find out what's going on behind the scenes of everything. So we're going to talk, well, this is, just to let you know, this is March 1st, 2017, and this is the New York area, so you have a bit of a reference point. My co-host, Reverend Maria, is an internationally known psychic from Budapest, Hungary, and a European shaman. She's also a published author of many books, spiritual life coach, a metaphysical practitioner, and a public speaker who has traveled to many places to speak on spiritual, psychic, and paranormal topics. You can check Maria's website at mariadeandrea.com, or you can call her after the show at 631-559-1248. 631-559-1248. You can also get in touch with me through mquestmedia.com, and you can see some interesting other video shows or, you know, internet radio shows on that site, as well as articles and so many other things there. So please take a look at mquestmedia.com. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/mquestmedia. So when we think of secret societies, we conjure up foreboding images of secret handshakes exchanged on street corners and clandestine meetings and occult rituals being performed in an underground lair. So many believe that members from various organizations today also hold a powerful influence over the outcome of world events and affect society as a whole. So what are these secret societies all about, and can they really touch us all? Secret organizations have existed for centuries, and many of them still to this day. So for instance, like the Ancient Order of Druids, for instance, was a fraternal organization founded in London in 1781 that still operates. In fact, a lot of these organizations seem to have started in the 16th, 17th century, sometimes the 18th century. The Freemasonry is another fraternal society that was established between the 16th and 17th century, as I said, and has over 6 million members today and remains actively engaged in the conduct of charitable works, where the establishment of fraternal friendship is central. And then you have the Sons of Liberty, consisting of American patriots that originated in the pre-independence North American colonies. The group was formed to protect the rights of the colonists and to take to the streets against the taxes by the British government. And they were best known for their undertaking of the Boston Tea Party in 1773. And it is believed that Isaac Newton was a member of the Rosicrucians, who were devoted to the pursuit of esoteric wisdom, again founded between the 16th and 17th centuries. These are just a few of these organizations, and we're going to talk about a few others during our episode today. So, Maria, what would you say is the actual reason these groups originally banded together for these types of, you know, these types of get-togethers? You know, it's sort of like the old meetups, you know, of
right?
of yore.
That's a good analogy. I like that one.
Yeah.
You know, people don't really understand what secret societies are really and their purpose, and they really tend to hear only about the negative ones. You ever notice that? I don't know why.
I wonder why.
You know, yeah. And really, members of these secret societies thought they were receiving guidance from the secret chief of high angels, as an example. Okay, they dealt primarily with the psychic development circles and mediumship. You know, so they were elevating themselves. Now, occultists like, say, Aleister Crowley, for instance, was connected with the Order of the Golden Dawn and trained in ceremonial magic, and he actually founded a group called where he wrote the Book of the Law. And that was considered to be a sacred text that served as the basis for them. So after years of occult study, his reputation actually became quite tarnished because of the darkness of his rituals and the books that he wrote. Now, there are various types of beings who work with these secret societies, such as the secret chiefs. So they're supposed to be intelligent soul minds who belong to the Great White Brotherhood. And they are in charge of the planet's evolution and development and really come into this plane to teach people psychic development and the laws of the universe so that we can all grow spiritually. People forget what the societies were for originally, which was to elevate everybody on the planet to a higher spiritual level. And this is taught many times in circle work to encourage the soul mind to advance to a higher level of consciousness. So this information really cannot be learned from formal education. Some of it, no matter how many books you read, and, you know, we're both authors, so I don't mean it negatively towards anybody else, including us. However, a lot of the information you have to be able to do. So if you're reading about it, it's wonderful. But if you're getting direct information from the spirit realm, it's a total different way of understanding. Okay. And they also make use of the Akashic records that come from the etheric world of intelligence, you know, where we get all our information. And then there are secret underground societies working towards higher knowledge and the ability, I would say, and some of the knowledge isn't given, by the way, to the public or the masses, but they're trying to get higher ability. And then there are different levels. So a lot of times they're moving up as they climb the various spiritual levels, kind of like a ladder, for lack of a better reference. Yeah. And then they teach underground knowledge. Now, the masses would not be able to handle working with these energies, and they do not want anybody to get hurt. So a lot of times the secretiveness isn't because they're trying to have society be unaware, but unless you go through the steps, they're not going to understand it. It's just confusing, and we don't want anybody to get hurt. It's a little bit like, all of a sudden, you're going to go to a class for algebra. You didn't take basic math, right?
Well, you know, I'm thinking also on the other side of the fact that they don't want, you know, people, most people, to get hurt would also be the fact that they would have to also elevate their spiritual consciousness in order to perform on a light level, because, you know, unfortunately, if you're full of fear and, you know, and there's a lot going on in your life, that's not going to be conducive to that type of work if you want to do it the right way.
Oh, exactly. Exactly, because when you really think about it, we're all supposed to be light workers in some form. The approach doesn't matter. The point is to elevate ourselves and, in essence, to elevate other people.
Right, right. And I was about to say that I know that at one point you had cut out, and I think you mentioned that Crowley, he had founded a group called Thelema, and I was worried that nobody heard that, so I just wanted to make that clear while we were over, you know, while you were speaking before. Now, you mentioned earlier the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which I guess was its official name for it, which Aleister Crowley belonged to, and I understand this was like a magical order active in Great Britain during the late 19th to early 20th centuries, which practiced theurgy and spiritual development, and has been one of the largest single influences in 20th century Western occultism, actually. What else can you tell us about them? You know, what was it like? I mean, what was that type of society organization like?
Well, as an example, the Golden Dawn is a byproduct, really, of the Rosicrucian Society, and their teachings get passed down word of mouth. Okay. So as an example, when they have formulas, because occult includes magic, and magic is really the oldest science, and I know you and I have mentioned this before on the air, that, you know, chemistry came out of alchemy, you know, physics came out of metaphysics, although it's really called occult. is really the oldest science. So they were passing down the formulas word of mouth. Okay. And society in the past would consider such beings, as an example, witches, you know, so they may pass down information orally to others as anybody in the occult field, including witches, which, by the way, happens to be a positive nature-based religion.
Yeah. Right.
And the information is already passed down in order to avoid written evidence of their teachings because, I don't know, for some reason, nobody wanted to be burned at the stake.
Yeah.
Go figure, right?
It's sort of a killer for the afternoon, you know.
Yeah, exactly, right? And the Jewish, for instance, were learning the esoteric arts or were passed down information from master to initiate, okay?
Mm.
And it's a little, you know, it's on a heavier level. And then tarot cards, as an example, were originally a book because the way they passed down information, okay, at some point in society, we're allowed to, you know. So tarot cards originally were, they put it into a book form, okay, at some point. And then since they couldn't pass their knowledge down, you know, properly, they would pass on each page from the book, you know, to read, study, and these were eventually turned into what we know as tarot cards today. And that's why when we read tarot cards in the ancient systems, because, you know, Hungary, you know, I teach the ancient and mine, and what happens is we look at it as whatever information is in the tarot, we don't turn the cards upside down or, you know, in reverse, because when you read the page of a book, you don't turn the book upside down. Yeah, I wanted to mention this now that I think of it. You notice how a lot of the societies are based on men, right? Not all of them, but a lot of the secret societies. What people don't think about is there's a balance. So when you were talking about, you know, Druids, which is the male occult system, for lack of a better term, okay,
okay.
It was all men, okay? However,
right.
At the same time, they had a group where, of occultists that were all women from Avalon. And one of their rituals, and it was all women. Now, the funny part that people don't think about it is their rituals was every now and then the two groups would get together to have a good time. Of course, they were, you know, just doing occult and raising energy.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
So they always looked at there's a balance between the male and female energy. People just don't mention Avalon as an example or a lot of the female society, but they had both.
Interesting, really interesting. In case you're just tuning in, this is Hidden Mysteries, and we're talking about secrets and secret societies. There's a lot of occult symbolism, for instance, found in many areas of our lives, such as our currency, you know, at least American currency. I don't know about anybody else's currency, but we know about American currency. Why were they weaved into the imagery of everyday objects like these?
Well, occult symbols like those placed as an example on currency, like you said, came about because some of the founding fathers were actually Masons. So they were attempting to bring in positive things that were meant to affect the entire nation as a whole to bring positive situations into this country. You know, not all societies were built on the foundation of negativity. Like Aleister Crowley, for instance, started out very, very positive. And then he went to the negative side because his ego wanted to show that he was better than everybody else, you know.
Mm.
So as an example, one of his books offered a formula with about, oh, say, 14 ingredients. However, if you know how to work the spell, you know, the formula, you could actually get it done with only 3 ingredients, you know, but it made it look a lot more impressive. And... you know, and that's like they were talking on the negative side about his use of sex magic. And the whole point originally of sex magic was that both parties had this exact same goal that they wanted to create or manifest something in their lives. And the point was to get together and to manifest it at the same time with both energies. You know, people just didn't understand that point. But he gave everybody a bad rep.
Yeah, I'm just like wondering how much you can actually leave that intent in your mind while you're going through sex. We'll leave that there.
I'm thinking pretty much it's a lost cause, but that's just me.
Now
that would be
right. Now I understand also that you have an Institute of Esoteric Studies. You want to talk about that?
Okay. Well, basically, some of it, again, is underground for obvious reasons. And if you look on my website, which is just mariadeandrea.com. Okay, the name of the institute is the DeAndrea Institute for Esoteric Studies. Okay, and the reason some of it is underground still, that we wouldn't write it in a book, is because it really is meant to be passed down word of mouth to people that are on different levels at different times. So it's basically a spiritual and a metaphysical center. And I actually founded it in 1999 to help seekers of spiritual truth, you know, on their own personal journey of self-discovery and enlightenment, you know, and we've really had a lot of people go through the system. And part of it, and again, it's on a very heavy level, and it has certificates and things, and at the end, I do have people where they came more or less, for lack of a better term, a master level, so they can go out and teach it. And there are actually five different levels in it. So
now, I want to ask you, what would be like a couple of the things that you would be teaching?
Oh, okay. So as an example, obviously we teach psychic self-defense because that's your base. If you can't protect yourself, and as an example, I teach how to go out of body. If you're out of body and you run across something negative, you will still see it. We have to know what's in different realms. The difference is it cannot hurt you. So safety is extremely, extremely important no matter what you do. So I teach shielding. You know, and then there are some Qigong exercises because, you know, that type of energy really comes into play for centuries, whether they call it Qigong or not. Okay. And then I teach people how to do power, how to make their own power rods as an example, because that's a conductor of energy. I also teach a form of healing, so you would actually end up being a healer, you know, just as an example. Okay, and then we do pendulums and dowsing and, you know, communication skills with the other realms, and I teach people how to connect to the other realms and mediumship and, you know, pretty much just very involved.
Very interesting. And if anybody's interested, please get in touch with Maria at mariadeandrea.com. And you can also speak with her on the phone after the show at 631-559-1248. Sounds like a really, really interesting curriculum. Now, why do you think these secret societies need to come together as a group? I mean, and can they really cast an influence on others, you know, others in society, you know, like the bad name that a lot of, I don't really want to mention, you know, everybody knows the names of these organizations. I really don't want to give power and energy to it, but everybody knows who they are. They can go on YouTube and watch a million videos of people talking about it, you know, but why do you think, what's your impression on that?
Okay. Well, first of all, on the negative side, you know, there really is a way to influence people, especially as a group, because now you have all that power, a lot of minds and focused intent on one particular goal. Okay. So as an example, there are ways, and not to mention the government, but there are ways that, you know, you can influence, like, small groups at a time. Okay. Now, we only do positive. You and I only do positive. So we don't do anything influencing on that level because if you're trying to control somebody's willpower, that is negative.
Right. Right.
So we don't do that. The reason a lot of groups get together on the positive side, you know, is to elevate themselves, each other, people around them on a spiritual level, and they get together to focus positive. Okay. So the positive intent on, say, a minor mundane level, say you have somebody in a group that is really searching for the right job for themselves, okay? It doesn't sound like a big thing, but if you're in a miserable job and you hate it, it's a big thing. So the group would get together and do healing or help them attract a job that's right for them in a positive way, okay? So a lot of the reason they get together is to help each other, but the main purpose is to understand spiritual and magical law so that you can elevate yourself, because the point is for all of us as spiritual beings to be more enlightened.
That's true. That's true. And especially with the rays of... I'm sorry?
I said we're always working on becoming a higher being, a higher level of understanding.
Right, right. And especially in this period in time where our levels of consciousness is going higher and ascending. So having... at least groups that do focus on positive energy that helps all of us, you know, especially, you know, not only themselves, but also that, that energy is going to be passed off into this, you know, realm and carried along with helping others to ascend as well. So it can't hurt.
go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, are there like a few other, let's say, secret societies that, that you know of that perhaps are not as well known that
definitely.
You might want to talk?
Fortunately, you know, a lot of what we do, because it is underground, the way that you know about the secret societies is literally word of mouth. Okay. So as an example, like people know mine, but they don't know exactly what I teach them until they're in it, because a lot of it, again, is still word of mouth, because in the ancient systems, okay, what happens is if you're going to be changing something in your life to make it better or helping somebody else or doing healing or, you know, a number of the occult formulas and spells, you know, a lot of people can't work with those energies, and we want to make sure that they don't get hurt. So as an example, in Hungary, there's a society, and it's basically women, okay? And what they're doing, obviously, everybody is trying to get to a higher enlightened level. That's really the base of all of them, okay? Well, all the positive ones.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is they're working on society in general, you know, and society becoming more and more positive. So on the occult side, they will do formulas and they will do spells, you know, for people around them to do better, say, with jobs, health, you know, relationships, whatever it is, in a positive way. Looking at it as a domino effect. You know, if you help five people and they do better, they're going to help people in their family. They're going to do better, okay? Mm-hmm. If they have a better job, they can afford better school for their children. Their children are going to do better. So a lot of it is based on the domino effect.
Right.
So, you know, and they do a lot of spell work or formulas, depending on how you're going to look at it. And a lot of it is very ancient. We use the ancient formulas, and, you know, of course, I add in mine, people add in their own, that actually work. And the reason I like using the ancient formulae is because, and so do these people and a lot of the organizations. The reason is, if it works for 20 million centuries, so sometimes what happens is, an example is, you have a perfectly great formula that works, and you know, you're sometimes you're calling in ancient deities. Okay, in Hungary we call in different ones. So basically, what happens is, when you're dealing with a secret organization, you call in whatever deity fits that particular situation. You're really not attached to just Christian, just pagan, you know what I mean? The secret societies are really focused more on whatever works. So now they call in, as an example, Nitika. Nitika basically connects to wealth, you know, financial wealth and power. I don't think anybody's going to say, no, I don't want to deal with that one.
Who is Mitica? Where is where did Mitica come from?
Well,
I mean, what I've never.
Mitica is very, very ancient. That's why I said a lot of what we do is underground.
Yeah.
I think some people have heard of Mitica, but mostly not. You know.
Yeah.
It's really it's a spirit that comes and helps you gain wealth. And the reason it's looked at as wealth, because it can come in as finance. In the ancient times, they used to say gold, you know. But if you're on a farm, it could be that all of a sudden you have a barter system where you have three more cows. You know, finance is finance in different forms. Wealth is wealth. You know, or it'll bring in opportunities for you to make money. Whether you take the opportunities or not, that's free will. We do not mess with free will. We're just bringing in different situations and opportunities. Okay. However, there's a whole ritual for that one. So if you do the ritual correctly, you know, things in your life on that level will improve. So we call in different deities for different situations. And, you know, the point is to help yourself and help others. Okay. So there are a lot of different secret societies that, you know, we all know about, because, you know, if you're underground and you're teaching underground knowledge, you're going to run into other people that also teach underground. So things that I teach, you know, because I'm a public speaker and I work internationally. So I will go to places if they ask me to speak somewhere and teach real situations. However, blame them and I always have something that people can go home and do themselves. However, some of the knowledge, they're going to have to stay underground, which is why we have the schools, because everybody's at a different level. There is no such thing as a negative level. Everybody is on the right level for themselves. So sometimes people compare themselves to, say, a different student or just a friend, and they're going to go, oh, you know, they're on a higher level. No, they're on a different level.
You're right, right.
Everybody's where they're supposed to be, and everybody goes at their own pace. Yeah,
right,
and some
right.
people need to be working high on a spiritual level because they're supposed to be in this particular lifetime working on, say, wealth. Their focus or business. Their focus may not have to be on spiritual matters in this lifetime, depending on the last incarnation, next incarnation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it may not be their path. So I was on the air on another show a while ago, and the very nice gentleman, the host, interviewing me said, you know, well, if somebody doesn't believe in any of this, you know, what would you say to convert them? So I explained, we don't convert anybody.
Exactly.
Everybody's
right.
where they're supposed to be. And you and I were laughing about it, but I told you, because it's like, we're not trying to convert anybody. If somebody asks us what we believe or what we do, we're more than happy to share knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to change anybody. You know?
Absolutely.
And
I mean, there's no reason for it.
Right. And it's funny because if you're not trying to convert anybody, they don't know what to say to you. It's like, no, this is what Mimi and I believe. If you disagree, that's fine. That's your path. Not trying to convert.
That's great. Now, do you have like are there like a couple of secret societies you can name that are out there that are less known?
Well, not the secret ones.
Yeah, oh, like the real secret ones.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, of course, if you go on the computer, which I really am still working on because, you know, electrical things tend to blow up on me. And they do have, you know, like the Masons and, you know,
right.
Even though we know about the Masons, nobody actually knows, unless they are a Mason, what they actually teach. You know, so
they're
still considered a secret society. That's very positive, but still considered a secret society. And then you have secret societies in different realms. Okay, I find, you and I talked about it once, I was going out of body and I saw that role I told you about, of, you know, monks. They looked like monks. There was a procession and... you know, I knew that they were positive, and it had the feeling of monks. I don't know what they actually were. You know, it was just that type of spiritual feeling. So they
didn't
have like the brotherhood on the other realm. And a lot of times we deal with different beings that actually come in to give us knowledge, especially as groups, but to give us knowledge to help raise our vibration. Yeah. So it's very
positive. You know, I tell you, it's like we always get into subjects, and it's like it's already time to start closing down. You know, it's like unbelievable. Well, we keep people wanting more. That's a good thing. You have any closing statements that you would like to say?
Oh, I just wanted to say to people, don't forget to join us again as we bring more exciting topics to you. Until the next time and always, may God bless you abundantly.
Listen, thank you all for joining us this evening on Hidden Mysteries, and be sure to mark us as your favorite so that you continue to receive notifications of upcoming shows. And visit us on facebook.com/mquestmedia, and then you can send your comments or suggestions for upcoming shows. And again, you can get in touch with Maria at mariadeandrea.com or call her at 631-559-1248. And have a nice night, and thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Hidden Mysteries.
Thank you.